right now, today, on VFN TV, Apple is being confronted by the U.S. government saying, we don't want to let anybody into our operating system. The U.S. government saying, we're going to get in there and you're going to have to do it. We're going to talk about that here, what Senator Cruz, the former attorney general, of state of Texas has to say about it. Also, we're going to go to Jerusalem and hear about the vineyard in Jerusalem and a realistic look at what's taking place in Israel, in the Middle East, with all this wartime scenarios that are going on live right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this. If God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate this city to you.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Apple, one of the biggest communications companies, telephone companies, really companies almost in the world now. Tim Cook is the CEO, the leader of Apple. And the San Bernardino shooters who did this terrible terrorist act in San Bernardino, I believe killing 14 people, had a phone. But on that phone, they password protected their phone. And now all the government, all the FBI, all the CIA, all the Homeland Security, all the police cannot get inside that phone. Why? Because it's password protected. Apple believes that they need to protect their customers from government and other people hacking into their system. They don't even have a program set up for that. But the government believes, and the U.S. Constitution says, that if there's probable cause to believe that a crime has been committed or about to be committed, that you can issue a search warrant. We're going to begin today kind of talking about that. But first, let's go to what CBN's saying about the FBI's wanting to hack the San Bernardino's phones. Let's take a look.
Pat, a federal judge has ordered Apple to help the FBI in its investigation of the San Bernardino shooters. One of them, Saeed Farouk, had an iPhone, and the federal government wants to access it for information. But Apple says no. The tech giant warns that if the feds could unlock that iPhone, it could unlock any phone. And to see what's on them, Caitlin Burke has a story.
Apple must hack into one of its users' iPhones. Government orders. The FBI believes Saeed Farouk's iPhone has important information about ISIS as well as the San Bernardino attack. But after several failed attempts to guess his password, the feds are locked out.
Continuing to try and guess that passcode isn't an option. After 10 failed attempts, the iPhone is programmed to completely wipe clean and shut down permanently. The FBI needs a way around that.
Apple says the feds are out of luck. CEO Tim Cook rejecting their order to create software that would allow them to access the locked phone. Cook took to the web, writing to Apple users to explain the implications of what the feds are asking. He says, quote, "Building a version of iOS that bypasses security in this way would undeniably create a backdoor. And while the government may argue that its use would be limited to this case, there's no way to guarantee such control." Cook says that customers expect Apple to protect their personal information, and that Apple is committed to doing just that. In 2014, Apple updated its iPhone operating system to require that the phone be locked by a passcode that only the user knows. Before that, the company could use an extraction tool that would physically plug into the phone and allow it to respond to search warrant requests from the government. FBI Director James Comey told members of Congress last week that encryption is a major problem for law enforcement who, quote, find a device that can't be opened, even when a judge says there's probable cause to open it.
Our job is to look at a haystack the size of this country for needles that are increasingly invisible to us because of end-to-end encryption.
Lawmakers and iPhone users are weighing in on this debate over privacy versus national security.
It's been consistent with Apple's policy for quite some time to try to be as unhelpful to law enforcement as possible. They should be on our side in this effort against terrorism.
It's going to give the government the right to go into everybody's phone. Either they're criminals or not, or you're just going on beyond your business. The government's just going to use that against you all the time.
Apple has 5 days to respond to the federal order to hack Farouk's phone. Caitlin Burke, CBN News.
Well, you just think about that. I mean, it's so important for us to get as much evidence as we can because there's people that were all around Farouk, all those folks that were coming in and out of his house, that was watching him build these bombs that were left around inside the San Bernardino government building there that they were trying to kill as many people as possible with those bombs, but they didn't go off, but 14 rounds were shot, or a lot of rounds were shot, but 14 people were killed. And it's like, what do we have, how do we solve stuff like that? So many things have been put into the air right now, so many negative narratives, that we forgot about the U.S. Constitution and what it says. You know, being a former law enforcement officer, I was aware of it. You gotta have a search warrant. A search warrant, and that's what they did. They've issued a search warrant. And when the government issues a search warrant, it has to be by the Fourth Amendment. And they interviewed a former attorney general and now Senator Ted Cruz to ask him this very specific question, and that's what he's talking about. Let's take a look.
I want to ask you about a couple of items in the news that I've asked the other candidates who are here tonight. The issue with Apple and the iPhone, as you know, again, if anybody's just joining us, a judge has ordered Apple to eventually basically develop a new software to create a sort of a backdoor that would allow law enforcement to unlock the phone of one of the San Bernardino terrorists. Right. Should Apple be compelled to do that?
I believe they should. They have a binding search order. And listen, anytime you're dealing with issues of security and civil liberties, you've got to balance them both. And I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can protect ourselves from terrorism and also protect our civil rights.
Because Apple, just for their part, they say this creates a backdoor that basically endangers all of our cell phones.
Well, and listen, I think Apple has a serious argument that they should not be forced to put a backdoor in every cell phone everyone has. That creates a real security exposure for for cyber criminals to break into our cell phones. So I think Apple has the right side on the global, don't make us do this to every iPhone on the market. But I think law enforcement has the better argument. This concerns the phone of one of the San Bernardino hackers. And for law enforcement to get a judicial search order, that's consistent with the Fourth Amendment. That's how the Bill of Rights operates. To say, Apple, open this phone, not Anderson's phone, not everyone's here, open this phone.
But Apple says they can't do that, that it's new operating software that basically would be available on everybody's phone.
But they wouldn't have to put it on everyone's phone. And that's, I believe that Apple, anyone, nobody has a right to defy a legal search warrant. And the way our process works, look, banks all the time keep financial records. And if you or I are a terrorist, if we're a drug dealer, and a search warrant is served on your bank, they can get your financial records. That's how the law enforcement system works. And the Bill of Rights prevents the government from seizing our information without any evidence. But when you have a criminal, when you have a terrorist, we know the San Bernardino terrorists were radical Islamic terrorists. If the Obama administration were not in this politically correct state of denial, ignoring that it is radical Islamic terrorism, we should have done more to prevent that attack. But after the fact, we ought to be using every tool we can to ascertain who else they might be in contact with, if there's a broader cell. So, of course, we should unlock their phones and find out who they're talking to, what texts they're sending. And that's a basic matter of keeping this country.
So when you hear people talk about the Constitution as some outdated document and it needs to be, it's a list of negative rights and it needs to be rewritten, this is the very thing that's holding back the government. And they're having to submit search warrants and things are having to be done accurately. And how former Attorney General of Texas, Ted Cruz, now Senator Ted Cruz, is explaining it, he's talking about the Fourth Amendment. It's how things focus, because prior to the American Revolution and the U.S. Constitution and the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that soldiers and kings and their people would just come on in and barge in your house. They would search everything you have. They would find a crime in there. And then they would issue a warrant against for your arrest once they found something that was wrong inside your property, your home, your life, or your business. Now they actually have to, as a matter of fact, let's take a look now at the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. This is what it says. It says, the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution says, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, their houses, their papers, and effects against any unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause supported by an oath or an affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. This is what's so important. This is what Senator Cruz is talking about, is that there's a legal search warrant. You have to go by that legal search warrant, but it has to be held to these Fourth Amendment standards. It has to be very specific. Obviously, the San Bernardino terrorists, they are criminals. It's not a probable cause to believe they might be a criminal. We know they're criminals. They were caught right in the act shooting the folks, shooting out at the police, and they died in the streets. So that fits the Fourth Amendment. But now you have a particular thing or property of theirs that they need to find out, the information on there. So they're saying, well, this digital information that we're talking about all the time that needs to be defined, and is that Apple's property? Is that, Farouk's property, the terrorist, or whose property is it? And so they submitted a legal specific search warrant, according to the report, saying that this is all we want. We want to hack into this one phone and find out all that we can, the evidence of this terrorism that took place in San Bernardino, California. That's why you have Senator Cruz saying, yeah, I support this, because that's America. That's how we're actually designed. But it has to be very specific. So when you have Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, saying, we don't want this used on every phone, the moment they use that on someone else's phone, they actually would have violated the Constitution. The government would be violating it. It would be Tim Cook and the Apple CEO, Tim Cook, they would be the ones violating it, because they shouldn't be into people's information. And so this is a real touchy thing. But the thing is here we are right now. The more freedom that we give up is the more control we give up in our life. And if there's a specific search warrant where they're saying all we want is Farouk's phone, we want all the contacts and texts and emails in his phone, then that is a reasonable search. Yes, it can be, government can go wild with things like that, but that's why we fear the Lord more than we do the government. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about going right to the Middle East, taking a real look at what's taking place with the wars and the attacks that are going on in the Middle East, hearing from Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, and what he's saying. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. There are moments in life that define you and leave you forever transformed. Like a once-in-a-lifetime journey to the source of your faith. Walk in the steps of Jesus and experience history beyond its words.
sail the ancient Sea of Galilee to the holy shores of the River Jordan. Your journey begins here.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're hearing so many reports about what's taking place in the Middle East. So many wrong reports that are taking place. And we try to, you know, be there as much as we can. You know, if you know, we have a lot of different programs about Israel. And this, who would know better than Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as they're gathering together and talking about what's really going on.
Yes.
What's really going on over there. And it's important because they have terrorist attacks right there in the capital in Jerusalem, which you saw on VFN TV, that nobody's talking about. A police officer in the capital was killed and one was wounded by three terrorists, and you don't hear anything. And it happened in the capital of Israel. And so let's just hear firsthand. John, tell us what is going on over there as they're taking this.
Well, this is interesting.
The leader's taking this look.
Yeah, this is interesting. In Jerusalem, they just met at this conference. It's the 42nd annual Israel Mission for Conference of Presidents. They've gathered 50 presidents of Jewish organizations in the United States that support Israel. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. They have about 100 delegates there. And what they're really addressing is finding out the realistic things that Israel's facing in the Middle East. What's going on? First of all, I was greatly encouraged to find out that there was 100, you know, 50, you know, organizations and then 100 delegates meeting just for this one purpose.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. Yes. And they're addressing the real issues and the real concerns. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they were talking about was you know, potentially a nuclear empowered Iran. And what does that mean to the region? What does that mean to Israel?
Which is the deal that we just cut, president just cut, and Secretary of State John Kerry cut with Iran.
I mean, release them was so, and they're saying that in the short term, it seems to be restrictive, but at the long term, obviously, they're going to get, they'll have the weapon. I mean, they will have the nuclear.
Well, I think to the perspective of Americans, we always think, well, that's got to be far away because America's just from coast to coast, right, from California to Florida. It's such a big distance.
We saw how fast internet travels.
Yes, well, you know that. But think about, you know, these countries are just, they can all snuggle up in one quarter of Americans, Americans' geographical region.
Yeah, I remember when I was in Israel, I was like, oh my goodness, Lebanon's over there, Syria's over there.
Yeah, right.
Throw a rock and you're in Lebanon.
Yeah,
you know?
Don't throw the rock, though.
Oh, yeah.
We found that out.
Yeah.
Pat should have never thrown that rock.
Uh-oh.
He probably saw us on CNN.
Messed up his hair and everything. Yeah. It was a bad situation.
It was bad. All in they took him to the back.
Uh-oh.
And he was never the same again.
Don't know what happened in that back room.
I don't know what happened. But he cut his hair. The mullet's gone after that. Something happened. He's just a new person. So
that's
what's going
great.
On?
That's great. So they're gathering, they're discussing these things, like I said, and one of the concerns was that now that Iran has hundreds of millions and even billions of dollars now going to be released in trade, that where's that money going to go?
Plus they're selling oil.
Well, yeah, but where's that money going to go in terms of Hamas and Hezbollah and all these different...
Yeah, what is their fighting arm there in Libya?
Not
There's so many different names for the very same thing.
Hamas. They support Hamas in the Gaza Strip.
True.
I believe Hezbollah is in Lebanon.
Right.
But they're fighting all these proxy wars, and now
that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they're using these other militant groups to get in there and do jihad, and it's been quiet now for Israel.
It's holy war, you know, hurting people, killing people, doing things on behalf of Allah, their God.
And the media today is not even reporting that all the different things that are happening to Israelis on any given day. Brutal stabbings and people being run over at bus stops.
Yes. And you did see them. You've seen this on VFN TV.
Oh, yes, you have.
The way that you would see it about something happening in America. And we're sad to say that the secular media is not showing it. Mm. And ever how goes Jerusalem, so goes the church. And if in any way... this is how radical Islam sees America, no matter who you are. They see us as a Christian nation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if somebody's going to charge the border, for example, they would go, okay, no, you're not. You're not. As a matter of fact, they we're going to be having our next program. You gotta, it's so tragic. But they just beheaded a teenager for listening to Western popular music.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. So many people are thinking, well, I'm not a Christian. Nothing's going to happen to me. Look, he's a teenager listening to Western popular music, and they beheaded this young man that had so much future ahead of him. There's nothing good in that Islam version. That's not good.
No.
If it causes you to cut the young man's head off, I mean, we're going to be talking about this in our next program. So this is why you have BB and 100 leaders coming together going, we need to take a realistic look at what's taking place over here.
This is what Dr. Michael Doran, the senior fellow at the Hudson Institute think tank, this is what he told the Conference of Presidents. These are presidents of major organizations that are supportive of Israel. He said, the president, Barack Obama, doesn't understand Iran the way that we do. The president represents a trend in U.S. national security elite, which sees Iran as a natural ally of the United States. This is a strongly held secret opinion, and they don't like to advertise it because it's unpopular politically. Duran also said that this false belief is widely held not only by Democrats, but by Republicans too. And he said that President Obama has convinced himself that in the end, Iran and the U.S. have the same interests of defeating Islamic State, and that Iran doesn't really want to destroy Israel.
There's one particular quote, at least by Rand, where she said, you know, you can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of reality.
Mm.
And you can't ignore God. I mean, God is holding everything together. He exists. He's in everything. He holds everything together. He's watching everything. He's aware of everything. And when you go punch God in the apple of his eye in Israel, well, he's saying, I will judge every nation by what you did, to the land of Israel, what you did to the Jewish folks. And it's like, it doesn't matter how good your domestic program is, you're not going to have a domesticated part of your nation if you're affecting the domesticated part of Israel.
Yeah. And what part do you, I mean, it's almost delusional because we don't have to perceive, we don't have to think, we don't have to rationalize how Iran really feels towards Israel. We can just listen and see their own words.
You've seen it for quite some time on VFN TV.
They're destroying mock aircraft carriers of the United States.
Yeah.
They are saying that death to Israelis. The former president of Iran said that the Holocaust didn't even exist.
At the United Nations, I believe he even made a statement at the United Nations.
These are things that they've been said repeatedly over and over again. And allegedly, even the Ayatollah said that, listen, it's all about, I'm paraphrasing, jihad. If Iran has to go, then it has to go. It's a small price to pay for the destruction.
So it's a kamikaze nation.
Yeah.
It's willing to throw itself into the fires of their theology.
Yeah.
And that's the dangerous thing. I think that's exactly what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is focusing on. This is not somebody who wants to live beyond their attack. They believe that they're going to, if they die in this whole process, then they're going to go have a 70. Yeah. Is it a 70-year-old virgin or 70 virgins? And
I don't know.
But they're going to go to their heaven. And what a great, think about it. Somebody's telling you a great lie that says that if you go kill somebody who's creating the image and the likeness of God, that God's going to go, hey, well done. I'm so glad that you got here. Thanks for killing my image.
Yeah.
And it's just a false.
Big lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Big lie. The other thing that was mentioned at this conference reminds me of exactly what you said in terms of Remember when in Syria, the president said that if Assad, Bashar Assad, the president of Syria, used chemical weapons on his own people,
right,
that would be the red line and that the United States would get involved.
We've heard so many other statements, but yes, I remember.
That happened.
Yes.
And he did not get involved. No. And they said the very same thing that you said, that basically the buck was passed over to Putin, and Russia has come on in, and now they are the influencer in the Middle East, while the United States is digressing and coming back. And what does that mean for Israel now?
And we talked about that on the program, where all these United Arab Nations were coming together, and League of Nations. 22 of them.
North
and they were
Africa.
Saying, listen, America, we will pay for this war, but deal with this issue. Deal with Syria, deal with ISIS, all these different things were going on at that time. And the president takes all that agreement, all that unity of the United Arab League, 22 nations, which is just hundreds, it's quite a few folks. It's
the Arab League?
Yeah,
it's 22 nations in North Africa. Yeah, that's
huge.
Big.
And so he just takes that football that was given to him, if you would, and just passes that football to Putin and just hands it off to him.
Wow.
And it's like, and we talked about that. And look, I mean, you hear even presidential candidates saying, hey, we need to partner with Putin to take this thing. And what's happening in the Middle East, everybody's trying just to, you know, because everybody's not radical Islam in the Middle East. But people aren't dealing with it in the Middle East like it needs to be dealt with. And they want it resolved. And America has enough force and enough power and a big enough military, even though it's been downsized rapidly, to be able to deal with it. But it's not being done. But it was way back when they said, here we are, we'll pay for the entire thing. So we wouldn't have went in debt. We could have probably paid off our $19 trillion that we would have in debt. And do this. And he says, he turned that football over to Putin, and Putin began, which is historically something that happened in the past. And you're looking at Gog and Magog. You're looking at, Persia. You're looking at Iran. And you're looking at, you know, potentially the king of Rush working together now. And that's what's happening with the leader of Syria. I mean, you're looking at he's fighting Iranian soldiers trying to it's just Gog and Magog fighting together.
The world is expecting the United States to lead.
Yes,
you know, and when the United States is weak footed, they're not. You know, our administration's not tough. They don't do the things that are in best interests. Then people get shaky.
Right.
When you look at this election, that's why it's so important. And we talk about all these countries, and the way the narrative goes out, it makes it seem like these other countries are on the same level playing field. There is no nation on the face of the earth of the size, the wealth, the power, the military expertise, nothing compared to the United States. In fact, Iran, their GDP is equivalent to the state of Pennsylvania.
Right.
They're not on the map.
Right.
They're not on the map. And so if we don't lead and we pull ourselves out, then what happens?
And when you hear politicians putting nations that gross national product is equal to a state in America, that you know they're not being honest with you, because that's not comparing apple to apples. There's no
we're
way.
Allowing them to dictate terms of a contract. I don't think so.
France is like 60. It's like 60.
I think 60 million.
60
like
million. And America's
330 million.
And so you could fit a lot of these countries and how God has so blessed us. I mean, why would we want to turn back on the Lord as a nation? I really believe in asking God just to intervene, you know, on the behalf of this nation. But no matter what, you can focus on Him. As a matter of fact, I have this offer for you, and we'll be right back after the break.
We're so excited about this offer we have available for our VFN TV partners. For your partnership for any amount whatsoever, we have this offer. We'll send to you DVD or online where you can watch it. It's called One Thing in 2016. Offer 2001 is learning the keys to success, prosperity, and peace no matter what or who may come your way. This is so important to be able to keep your peace and focus on the Lord, just like David did. When all these things were happening against King David, he was just doing his job, but an entire government was coming against him led by Saul. Guess what he did? He focused on the one thing. It's this encouraging word. We have it for you for any gift whatsoever. Just go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, click on partnering, or you can actually call 844-408-3688 or write to VFNTV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. One thing in 2016. God bless.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I was told by my supervisor that I couldn't have my Bible and religious books on my desk in my work area. I was wondering if that was legal or what can be done about that.
Well, it's not legal. The Bible is not a banned book. I mean, if you're allowed to have personal references on your desk area, then you shouldn't have a Bible as a banned object. Now, some of the employers, what's happened, Nick, is some employers have thought that the EEOC, about almost 10 years ago now, were considering adopting what was called a religious-free work zone rule, and that was there'd be no religious discussions or Bible studies allowed in the workplaces. Those regulations never got off the ground, and it never went into effect. But there's been this lingering view, and some employers think that if they allow Christian employees, for instance, to have a voluntary Bible study, which a lot of groups have, or if they have a Bible on their desk, they're somehow creating a hostile work environment. And that's just not the case.
Do you have questions? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
I want to welcome our VFN TV audience, our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and on the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday. Also our VFN Radio audience around the nation and around the world. If you've been missing our program or you're saying, I wish I would have got that or would have got this. If you sign up for the Torch newsletter, go to VFNTV.com. I believe in the upper right-hand corner, it says newsletter sign up. Just go there. Mm-hmm. And every single week, you're going to get a summary of what happened that week in a way that you can just kind of glance right through it and say, what do you want to watch? What do you want to hear? What do you want to share? And we want to make sure whatever way you can get it. But by signing up for the Torch, you know, that makes that possible for you. In other words, you can listen throughout the week, but you can summarize it at the end of the week to make sure that you didn't miss something that you need to know.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about, John and I are talking about how Israel's 100 leaders came together with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to take a specific detailed look at what's taking place in Israel. And like John was saying earlier, 100 leaders coming together on behalf of Israel in the Middle East was very encouraging.
Which represent organizations of people all across the United States that stand strong for Israel. And thank God that we have so many Christians and so many Americans that believe that we have to stand with our biggest ally in the Middle East.
This has gotten so bad that I believe Saudi Arabia is now debating whether to partner with Israel to be able to.
Yes.
And so that's huge because out of Saudi Arabia, reports are, that's where they're all this homegrown stuff.
Wahhabism
and all that's coming out and sending this stuff around the world. And so.
Well, they're still cutting people's heads off in Saudi Arabia. I mean, they're still whipping people.
Yes, they are. They really are.
And abusing women too. I mean, it's horrible.
But we're drinking their oil. So what are we doing with our cars? We got to begin to really think about, you know, what does that mean to be a nation that has these values? And I think when you hear people, you know, speak about, you know, the earth and the energy and preserving things, maybe some of their reasoning might be behind what they see, what we do, and what's it coming from, paying money for oil, what it does to society.
Absolutely.
There's so many governments that are like 80-90% of their budget comes from the oil money.
Sure.
Which creates tyrants and these family ruling.
But look what's happening in Venezuela right now. A new report came out that they had to raise their gas for the first time in 20 years. But this is a country that's oil rich, oil dependent.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, and their people are standing in lines today, 2016, for food. Massive lines just to get government rationed food. Right. They can't feed their
own
people.
It's almost like a crack addiction to oil. Because how did we, as a nation, as people, how do we survive without oil? Because oil was not something that cars and oil.
Well, remember Perry Stone's insight that someone in the Knesset shared with him, that one of the four things that Israel is going to be able to acquire that's going to make them free, not needing the United States anymore, is they're not going to be dependent on oil anymore because they're going to convert to natural gas, which is a huge thing.
Right, that's right.
We have an abundance of resources like that here in the United States.
They'll be totally independent, like within 4 years or something, of every nation.
Yeah.
We better get on the right side.
We better get on the right side.
So what else is going on?
Well, this is what they say. They say that in Israel, the U.S. seems to be losing its foothold, too. So it's not just an American in the world. In January, one Israeli poll named Russian President Putin as its person of the year for 2015. Putin, whose country in 2015 was considered by the international analysis to have surpassed North Korea as the United States' greatest adversary, was the clear winner of the Jerusalem Post with almost 30% of the vote.
Say that one more time.
You gotta listen to this. You gotta hear this.
Oh, yes.
Okay. In January, one Israeli poll named Russian President of Putin as its person of the year for 2015, Putin, whose country in 2015 was considered by international analysis to have surpassed North Korea as the United States' greatest adversary, was the clear winner of Jerusalem Post, by 30%.
I can't believe the Jerusalem Post is actually promoting, I guess,
they polled the Israeli people, and the Israeli people said that Putin is the person of the year. From a country that surpassed North Korea.
Former KGB leader.
And connected to,
people just kind of drop off like, and they have what's it called,
an oligarchy.
Yeah, oligarchy where it's ran by these few business leaders that are.
I don't know, business or
yeah.
What kind of business.
Yeah, and they're saying, what a crazy world. Crazy. This is like a bad movie that you can't get out of.
Yeah.
Or a book you wish you never would have started reading. But it's real. This is actually
very
real.
Very real. And you look at what's going on with North Korea right now. They're launching these rockets. You have China building this island China Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Russia, and the United States is retreating. I mean, there definitely has to be a major turn. But this is what Netanyahu told the conference, the Prime Minister of Israel. He told the conference of presidents, not just any delegates. He says, we live in an era where there are two parallel but contradictory trends regarding the state of Israel. On one hand, Israel faces ongoing diplomatic hostility from longtime friends, including from the European Union and its member countries. On the other hand, non-traditional partners like India, China.
By the way, the new CEO of Google is he Indian-American?
I'm not sure.
Okay, but he's from India.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. On the other hand, non-traditional partners like India, China, Japan, Russia, and African and Latin American nations are warming up to Israel. The first reason is the concern with the spread of militant Islam, which has become a global plague, and the terrorism that it produces, said Netanyahu, and countries want to have the benefit from Israel's experience and our intelligence.
Uh-huh.
So you got all these nations that traditionally would not have partnered with Israel.
Right.
Japan, Africa, China, Russia.
You know, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's God's plans to always prevail.
Yeah.
And, God, prophecy's being fulfilled so rapidly now. Because there's going to be a momentary partnership with China and the Asian countries and Israel for a season where Israel's going to share technology. This is their prophetic words. They'll share, they have all this technology, but they'll share that with China. The power will shift. Obviously, we're watching America downsized. It's interesting. We went supersized on our menu, and our country now is going down, being downsized.
We spoke about Apple, Tim Cook, the beginning of our program. Apple, their company, is worth more than all of Russia's stock exchange combined. One company.
I can tell by their customer service how it's changed now.
Oh, yeah. So it just goes to show you just the vastness in country and the position that we hold here in the United States as a world leader. And if we abandon Israel, we're saying a lot.
In Israel, most of America stands with Israel, but the government that we chose by voting or not voting, the 530-some-odd folks...
We're really saying the president, because the Congress and the Senate have been very supportive of Israel.
Well, they could be more supportive by changing a couple branches.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a way to change it.
Yeah.
I mean, they remember the Supreme Court ruled that if you were born, somehow they did this. I don't know. They're not supposed to create law. We just had on a previous program. You should never be able to fear.
Legislate, right.
You should never legislate. You don't have to fear the Supreme Court because they can't legislate. And they can't. They don't have the sword, and they don't have the purse basically, the two things. And it seems like they have the sword, the purse, the bank, the everything. And they voted. They heard a case about if you're born in Jerusalem, you can no longer say you're born in Jerusalem. You can only say you were born in Israel.
Mm.
That's a huge affront. You know, Jerusalem. You're talking about Mount Moriah, where God met man and revealed Himself, and where Jesus is going to come back and rule. And we decided in our Supreme Court of 9 Supreme Courts that our presidents have put into their places and Congress has approved. So I don't think it's just the president. I think the whole thing is messing up. The Democratic National Convention, they wanted to take Jerusalem out of their platform and say that it's not the capital of Israel. It wasn't even on the website of the White House acknowledging Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And then a Methodist pastor from Ohio at the Democratic National Convention stood up and he said, listen, that's not right. This is what we want. And they took a vote. And the majority of the people in that session, we have that. Most of the people in that session said, no, we don't care. We don't want Jerusalem, as the capital. And they just pushed it through. The mayor of San Francisco, was it?
Los Angeles, Antonio. Well,
yeah, he just pushed it through anyway because they knew it wasn't going to go good over America. But it's like God saw every bit of that.
The reason I said that is because when Speaker Boehner invited Benjamin Netanyahu to come to deliver his case, why they shouldn't sign that Iran deal and the standing ovations of those that were there, that's why I made that statement. But you're right.
But while Boehner supported all the other stuff.
Correct.
It's kind of like bipolar.
Very much so.
Listen, it's time for us to think about making a difference in America. The way we do that is to get informed, get registered to vote, and to vote. Take a look.
So here's what's supposed to happen. As Christians, we're supposed to shine bright, be a light in the darkness in our country. So we try to make a big difference by getting ambitious and planning big events to let our light shine. But at the end of it all, we still find our United States of America in a dark place. Sometimes we forget that God takes small, simple beginnings and turns them into big, important changes. The big, important change we want to see is every Christian in America registered to vote and making their voices heard on Election Day. So we've got an idea. What if each one of us reached just one? What if each one of us pledged to get just one new Christian voter? Think of it like this. Wherever you are in the country, you've got your own little light ready to shine. Watch what happens when you shine your light just once. If everyone will play their part once, all those parts will add up to one big impact. There's 90 million Christians in America, and less than two-thirds of them actually voted in 2012. We could decide an election if each of us would simply pledge to register one new Christian voter. Oh, and did we mention we're making it easy for you? Use the voter lookup tool to find someone you know who isn't registered, and go talk to them. The rest, as they say, is history. History that you can help make.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Our country is in trouble. Many people look to capitals like this, whether it's Washington, whether it's state level, they are looking for answers to the problems that they have in life. But I can tell you right now, without God, there's no hope. I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies, calling our nation to God. We're calling it the Decision America Tour. We're asking Christians to pray, to vote for candidates that stand for biblical values and engage in your community. I'll challenge Christians to live out their faith at home, in public, and at the ballot box. I believe this next election may be the most important election maybe in the history of our nation, and we can have an impact on this. We're not supporting any candidates. We're not supporting any party. But we want to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. I want people to come to Capitol steps like this where we're going to pray. And I'm going to preach a gospel message, and I'm going to encourage Christians to stand up and let their voice be heard. So please, get involved in the Decision America Tour. Go to DecisionAmericaTour.com for dates and rallies.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. That is so exciting. Don't forget you can go to VFNTV.com/vote. So you can register, and you can even find out if your friends are, so you can help them get registered. Imagine one person. You can affect 10 folks. You can vote almost legally 10 times by finding 10 people.
That's right.
Who love God and love the country, and they want to get educated on whoever they're going to vote for, and they go down and vote. You can even put them in your car and drive it. Let's make a whole, this is what we're going to do. And you can say, first of all, find out when the election day is, because most people don't know. There's like a presidential primaries coming up at different times than the other local offices running in different times. But this is, a lot of people are going to switch positions this year.
Yeah.
Hopefully. You don't know.
But get involved. Get involved locally. You know, find out when your elections are, who's running.
VFNTV.com/vote. It'll tell you exactly when you need to register, how to register. It takes you right to whatever state you're in, whatever county you're in. It'll take you exactly where you need to go. Plus, there's also a Judeo-Christian voting guide.
Yeah.
That'll give you even some more information there. Obviously,
well, stakes have never been higher. I mean, we have Supreme Court already vacant, you know, with one for sure that needs to be filled, but potentially three or four other you know,
not just judges. A Supreme Court justice, but a
pillar.
A truly conservative, and that word has been so used, it doesn't even really make as much sense, but somebody who actually believes that the Constitution, when people wrote it, they meant when they put the word "the" in there, he said it means "the." Yeah. Now you can change it if you want to, but you got to get to the people and change the Constitution. But you can't just bend it. It's not leave it living. This is what happened was. I mean, you think this is my theory. How many people are not reading the Bible in America? The people that profess it.
89%.
89% are not reading the Bible.
81%.
81% are not reading the Bibles in America. Well, the Word of God is living and breathing and active. It was the breath of God. And it's sharper than a double-edged sword. Now, since we quit reading our Bibles and focusing on what God says, they move that, all these different things that God says, they're shifting it to a secular viewpoint, and they're saying now the Constitution lives and breathes.
Hmm.
That's what they're saying. So then it can just change without anybody voting for it. And the Supreme Court justice that we lost, he said it doesn't happen. He says, if you want to change it, it's totally okay. It's constitutionally right for it. You can do that, but you have to do it the way the Constitution says. You got to vote for it. The people have to decide constitutionally, like 2/3 of the ratification type things that happen in the United States, to change that.
What's beautiful about the Constitution is that it is what it is. And so people that want to change it or manipulate it oftentimes is because they want to get
to change it right. I mean, you can change right, but it won't work that way because most of the people in America are against. But the few folks in America are changing it in some other ways. And yes, you know, people who claim to be Christians did the very same thing historically. But just because one man robs a bank doesn't mean it's okay to rob banks forever.
That's right.
We can go back to the original intent of the Constitution and say, let's just vote this thing in. And so we lost that. Mm-hmm. So whoever you vote for, or whoever America elects as the next president, for example, they're going to nominate, if our current president doesn't nominate, they're going to nominate a man or woman that's going to sit in that position possibly for the next 50 years, maybe even 3 seats.
Wow.
What they're talking about. Well, let's go to Israel for a moment. I mean, think about being able to take your daughter, and she's already pregnant with your grandchild, but she hasn't had that child yet. And you're going to go and show her on your own personal tour. You're going to read the Word of God. And she's going to talk to you, and you're going to talk back and forth about what's going on. Well, that's what happened with Franklin Graham and his daughter, Sissy Lynch. They went to Israel 7 days in the Holy Land. We've been showing these each of these particular segments, but this segment is where they're going to where Gideon, you think about when Gideon was there and he had all these thousands of folks, and God said, you know, send them down to drink. And the ones that drink, it was 300 it ended up being, that drink a certain way, that's the ones that go with you. But they're right there by that spring when they're talking about it. Let's join Franklin and Sissy in 7 days in the Holy Land.
Sometimes in this part of the world, the most unassuming site can be a place of great significance.
In Israel, there are not a lot of places you can say this is the exact spot, but this is the exact spot where Gideon chose his men. Israel was impoverished, the Bible says, because of the Midianites and the Amalekites, and it looked absolutely hopeless. These people had no hope, none. And they cried out to God, and God heard them. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, you're a mighty warrior, and you're going to deliver Israel from the hands of the Midianites and the Amalekites. And he had about 32,000 men that came with him. And they came to these springs, but God said, that's too many men. Whoever got down on their knees and drank the water with their mouth, he sent them away. But those that took their hand and actually brought the water to their mouth, those are the ones that kept 300, brought the water to their mouth with their hand. And God said, that's enough.
Gideon didn't think he could do it because he came from the weakest and his family was the least of his tribe. But he went out in obedience.
And sometimes, you know, we think, well, we're too small. How can God use me? You'll see God work in a mighty way, just like right here with Gideon. And how God used Gideon and those 300 men to have to create a great victory for the Lord.
The Lord just asked for obedience.
He wants us to obey.
That's so awesome to be able to see that. But think about it. Gideon was thinking there's no way he could be used because he's the weakest and the least. And God was wanting to deliver a whole nation from huge captivity. I mean, you think about that. And how many today saying we got to get a bigger this and a bigger that, and we need more money and more stuff. And God said to Gideon, I got to get you smaller and I got to get you weaker and I got to get you lesser. Because if you deliver yourself by political means, if you deliver yourself by money, by manipulating but this or that or whatever, you're going to take credit for it. Mm. I want to deliver you, but I want the glory to do it. And so what he did was he had narrowed down to 300 men who would listen to a vision that God had given Gideon, that he was going to speak to these men and they were going to do exactly what he told them to do. Imagine that. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
So all we need is agreement. If we can find enough people who are hearing what the Lord is saying, walking together and being willing to blow your horn, smash your jar, and swing your spiritual word of God's sword at the same time. Listen, God will deliver this nation. If he delivered Israel under the stressful reality of the Midianites, that word means stress, strife. I mean, that's where America is today, but we have to have the mindset of understanding God wants all the glory for it. I want to pray with you now. Father God, I thank you that you are a God that uses the weakest and the least. I mean, I just think of Paul when he's writing to the church of Corinth. Think of what you were when you were first called, Lord God. I know, Lord, that we can do nothing outside of you. Lord, I pray for courage in you, in our audience right now, that they would have their courage, not in themselves, not in their strength, not in their money, not by power, not by might, but by your spirit, that the courage would be in your spirit, Father God. Raise up a Gideon's army this day, Father God, that will stand and follow your plan so you could turn the enemy on themselves, Lord, and deliver this land into your hands. We just pray this in Jesus' name. And God, we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com
on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years, I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear him clearly. And it's beautiful, and you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
He says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing, and he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life, and it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it,
right?
You know, when you open up the scriptures, and there it is, and like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God. And by alone with God,
mm-hmm.
and you all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages?
With
the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though,
yeah.
to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email. iabide.org.